This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about Vice District, Haymarket, Spiteful, and then we get excited for the Great Lakes Brew Fest in Racine, Wisconsin. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And I have no way to kick this off. What? We're just drinking beer. We are drinking beer. Back at it. Back in the saddle. Never fell off the horse.
I love it, man. I love it. I've been listening to that Kanye song all week. Oh.
So, kicking things off, we're drinking the Freedom of Speech.
Yeah, a session sour from the good folks at Revolution.
Mm-hmm. And it's speech, like with peach, because it's a session sour with peaches.
This would have fit in nicely to that that peach fest on the rooftop from like 2 months ago.
Oh, that's right. You're burnt out on peach beers.
I'm like, the nerve of these people to have to have a gathering and you cannot bring a beer unless there's peach in it. But I was surprised to see how many beers have peach in them, you know?
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Breweries are like, we got to make sure we have our fruits covered for these festivals.
I tell you, man, it's a peach wave right now, man. I know Stone has one. It's called M-Peach, which is like a Stone. So it's a double IPA with peach.
Yeah, millions of peaches, right?
I feel like I'm seeing a lot of peach beer. Corridor and Moore got together last month.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Drink a lot of peaches.
Right.
A lot of peach. Peach is we're at peak.
Peak peach.
We're at peak peach.
But this is tasty. This is what Rosa should be.
You know, I'm with you there, man.
It's a 4.5% beer. This came out like late summer for them. So it's like pretty new. I think it's their newest can release too.
Yeah. Kettle sour, a ripe peach flavor. Mm-hmm. It's nice, man. Sometimes kettle sours have that lingering cereal effect that I don't like.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have that.
And it's not too sour. It's almost, the peach comes through. It's like fruitier than sour. Maybe the sour acidity kind of cuts through that peach fruit a little bit.
Yeah, just a nice kiss of acidity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, digging it. So we'll sip on these as we chat about our beer adventures last week and dive into some events coming up this week. Mm-hmm. So kicking things off, we have been talking about Vice District for a long time. Maybe off the mic in the pre and the post
right off the mic we talk about Vice.
Also recently opened up their new location. They celebrated their anniversary, so there's just been a lot of like talk, and we haven't made it there, but you pulled it off,
man. I finally made it out to a Home Sweet Homewood. That's what it says on the water tower.
Okay,
you know, Home Sweet Homewood.
So you didn't go to the Chicago one, you went to the new location.
I went to the new location. So they had the grand opening maybe a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is their second location, and, you know, they do, they're doing this thing as their grand opening where, you know, you get a full pour, and then you can pick a 5-ounce sampler.
For free?
For free. Oh. On the house. What? But, hey, check out our other beers.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's like the first taste is free kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're not really free because you had to buy something.
You had to buy the first one. Yeah. So, you know, it's an exact replica of the one. Like dead ringer for the other one.
Little tiny fermenters too?
No, except the fermentation is a lot bigger.
Okay.
And this is right on the strip in downtown Homewood. We were talking to the guys and we were saying like, yeah, we're out in Homewood, which is like, I don't know, 183rd and Halsted-ish, mm-hmm. right? They're like, yeah, we're in Homewood, but since we're downtown, you know, foot traffic is actually very comparable to that strip of South Loop that they're in.
Really?
Yeah.
Ouch.
I'm like, man, there's a lot, because there's a lot going on. Yeah. I mean, you know, see.
That doesn't bode well for their Chicago location then, I guess.
Yeah, I guess as far as foot traffic goes, because when you're down, what are you like? You're south of Roosevelt at that point.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, like maybe between like 12th and like, I would say 15th, something like that. Right, yeah.
Okay.
So
you bought a beer, you got your taste. How was it?
So, you know, It's all their staple beers, right? I always liked them because they had a black IPA habitual, you mm-hmm. know. And like we said, that trend has come and gone. No one's making black IPAs, but they make a really good one, I think.
Right.
So and, I'm drinking these beers.
Know, they're black guys. They
and
gotta
then,
have.
And then they're, black.
Yeah.
This is the only black-owned brewery in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think there's only six in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, these beers were good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, who's making these beers? I'm like, these beers are good. Like, I've had these beers before. They got the staple, right? They got staple beers, maybe like five of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, we've seen all these beers before and we had them before. But with this level of flavor
quality
and pop.
Okay.
And I'm like, yo, what's going on here? So I'm talking to this guy and he's like, yeah, man, I just came on. I used to brew at, he brewed at a small town in downstate Illinois, by okay. like Normal or Bourbonnais or something like that.
Okay.
And then he's like, after that, I spent some time at Bell's.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So apparently there's a connection with Motor Row because I saw some of the Motor Row guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, some of their family members are related to this guy that brews at Vice District now. So there's a connection there. And I was really impressed by what they were doing out there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So one, two, three, four, five. So six staple beers on tap. And this guy's looking at making more stuff.
Like, that's awesome.
Tweaking these and then making new recipes. So
cool. That's really cool that we've kind of joked about we like who those guys. We like the image and everything, but the beers have been hit or miss a little bit for us.
And, you know, they kept changing brewmasters. I know Good Time Charlie was out there, and then he left.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they've had one or two other brewmasters. They had a female brewmaster at one point, and she left. I think there wasn't a lot of consistency across what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue, too.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So, but, man, I'm here to report. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. So how you said the Homewood location's like kind of a spitting image. Is it bigger, though?
Yeah,
like, I think, seating-wise?
I'd say slightly bigger. Okay. Where like so like at the original location where that location the dining room kind of ends, this one has another section of seating.
Okay.
Another small section of seating.
All right.
Yeah. So
dog friendly as well. I know that South Loop one is dog friendly.
That's a good question. I didn't see any dogs that day. They had a 4 o'clock start and then oh, and it's super new, so like the fire alarm went off.
Oh, really? Just like an accident or a test?
No. It was then like the fire department was there, and like I swear, maybe like 30 seconds.
Did you just like keep drinking? And you're see a fire.
They kind of mentioned like, hey, don't worry, everybody remain calm. And we're like, yo, I got two samples. I got two full pours. Like, I mean, we're kind of going to, unless we smell smoke, we're drinking.
Right.
We're drinking.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I had a good time. I tell you, man, Everlay, the English Bitter,
uh-huh.
I was a big fan of that. The Imperial IPA with cluster hops, cluster damn near killed her,
mm-hmm.
was really nice. But that Cascadian Dark Ale, habitual, that was my jam.
Yeah, you like that style
yeah.
more than I'm not a huge fan of that style.
We were at a point. All right, so for me, like the...
I've had bad ones.
The peak of like that style for me is like the one that Stone made. The name's escaping me right now, but I want to say, for me, that was like, because it's really easy to fuck them up and have it kind of taste like
burnt coffee.
Or like, you know, like you accidentally had ashes in your in your stout. Like somebody like dropped ashes in your stout, you know. But when they're done right, man, they're creamy and hoppy. And they almost have like that, you know, that chocolate covered fruit thing going. Man, it was good.
Yeah, maybe
fluffy,
I.
Fluffy, it was great.
Maybe like hazy IPAs, I didn't have enough of them, and once you finally like hit the stride of like, oh, there are good ones versus this is a trend.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go over there and give it a try, and I want to see this new location. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was cool, man.
You make it to any other stops over there because they're not far from Flossmoor.
No, I was no, I did not. You know what I did do though? I went to Fall on the Green, and and Evergreen Park? No. And Oaklawn. Sorry. Fall on the Green and Oaklawn. It was kind of like an Oktoberfest style party. Nothing really to report there. Just standard fare. There was Goose Island Founders and Upland.
Okay.
And an Upland bought a Pilsner.
Nice.
So, nothing to report there, but that's all I did. And then I went across the street to Deja Brew, which is it's a really good craft bar.
Oh.
With great food that sits right across the street from this party.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... I mean, they got, like, murals all over the place. It kind of reminds you of a place that, I mean, it's not a place I would associate with 95th and Cicero.
Yeah, okay.
As far as just being, like, super craft-centric. And then they've got, like, you know, Revolution's double dry hopped. What was it? Double dry hopped Citra Hero. That was a can release a few weeks ago. They had a barrel aged release from Blue Island.
Oh, nice.
And you know, some barrel aged Brickzone stuff. Like, really good selection. I remember taking my mom across the street to some ear doctor, and I was like, I'm going to sit over here at this bar for an hour.
Yeah.
And there was like prop on tap at this place.
Oh, wow.
I was like, it's that kind
of place. It's that good. Okay.
It's just very surprising.
And it's like hidden because no one's really over there that often. Or
this is on a standard strip with like, you know, like hotels and White Castle and all these like small, you know, like insurance companies and, you know, where you go get your braces and shit like that.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Okay. Cool. We spent a long time last week talking about Haymarket.
Yes.
And so I had to go. I had to go to Haymarket.
I had to go. Yeah, it was on our mind. Because I think in the last show, we probably dedicated like maybe the last 5+ minutes or so to Haymarket. Yeah.
So I had been thinking about us talking about it. And we talked about like getting some Haymarket beer maybe for the show. But then I went there. I was like, well, we don't want to just do Haymarket all talk here. So I just went there and had a couple beers. I also had a thing I wanted to write, I think, more elaborate more than what we talked about in the last episode. So I kind of wrote that up a little bit at the while I was drinking.
Oh, you nice.
You get in the mood. You're at the place, and you can write it on your phone or whatever. Yeah. Just kind of get your thoughts down. So I was hanging out at the bar. And I had two beers. One name escapes me now, but they were offering it was $4 pints because it was like their local 707 special that day. So they had two of them, and that was pretty nice. I think it was just a pale. Maybe it was the Torch Pale, if I'm thinking correctly. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was good. And then I got the Matthias because that was the spark, I guess, appropriate for what it was, the spark of the conversation last week. I was like, all right, okay, Matthias. I usually maybe avoid Matthias a little bit, especially at festivals.
It's a monster beer. I want to say it's like 9-10% beer. It's like a very big beer.
Yeah, but I think this version was only like 7% or something. For some reason, I also had in my head that Matthias is like a 9% beer. But for some reason, I thought it said like 6.8, but I could be
maybe
like
new
blanking on it. I don't know if you were you checking it or you were looking at the Stone?
Sublimely Self-Righteous is the black IPA I was talking about from Stone. That's as far as I get.
But yeah, the Matthias,
Matthias is in cans now.
It is in cans.
Maybe it's changed since then.
It's an Imperial IPA, so it is pretty big. What's the beer advocate say?
Let's see. They say 9.
Oh, it's 9?
Okay, but that's an entry from 2011.
Okay.
In cans.
That's very well could be 9. For some reason, I might have looked at the menu incorrectly, but it's a big beer. It was tasty. It doesn't taste boozy. Mm-hmm. It has that nice sweet malt mixed with the bitter IPA, so it's a fantastic beer. If you want a big beer like that.
Yeah, sometimes you want to be overwhelmed. I know locally, man, I know, we always talk about Half Acre's IPAs.
Yeah.
But once you get outside of Half Acre and Rev, I think, American Muscle from Local Option, that was one of my favorite double IPAs.
Yeah.
Ninja versus Unicorn, obviously. And Matthias is right there with those two beers for me, so.
So it was packed at the bar. Mm-hmm. It was Saturday afternoon, I believe. They are like a Iowa State bar.
One of the guys there's a huge Iowa flag in there. Right?
Yeah. So I think they were playing the game up in the back, but I was sitting in the front. Every TV I think had a different game on at that point.
Yeah. Dude, they got like 60 TVs in this joint. It's like it's a brewery, but it's a full on sports bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that there's somebody in the ownership has kids because they got it's kid friendly. They got sippy cups. They give you crayons with like little drawing stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
get your kids out of there after dark.
After dark.
I don't know what the rules are, but come on. If you got your kid after dark, you should probably just go home.
You probably should, especially when you're drinking Matthias. You may lose track of them.
That's just me.
So Rate Beer lists Matthias at 8%. I'm looking at their website. They don't have the ABV on it.
I'm guessing on the tap list.
But
in cans, I think it probably dropped.
Yeah, maybe it did drop.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's kind of strange that I remember it being such a big and dangerous beer. You're just like, oh crap, I don't know if I want to tackle this. Yeah, the can say 8%.
Yeah.
So yeah, see, it did come down a little bit. It was like, I think it
was bigger.
Originally released, it was in the like higher nines. So, and then there's Mini Matthias that you can kind of find sometimes at the festivals. But
yeah.
Haymarket, always a good spot. I didn't eat, just was drinking, and I wrote up an article, which we'll link in the show notes here, and I think we post it as well on Twitter and Facebook. So
for sure. One more note about Haymarket. I was always a fan of how many different sizes of beer you can get at that joint, mm-hmm. right? There's a, you know, there's a 4 ounce, and then but
12
they,
ounce.
They go 12,
16.
They go 16, and then I want to say 20. They go 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whatever your price point is, if you're kind of strapped for cash that week, you can be like, give me a couple tasters, yeah. or I'm going to go 12. Some guy was making fun. I was down the bar from somebody, and he's like, who orders 4 ounces? And the bartender's like, well, there's people that want to try multiple beers. Like,
you might have to go back to work or something. You know?
Man, don't judge people on the amount they're drinking.
Yeah.
As long as they're not bothering you.
And it's on the menu. It's not like you, it's like custom order.
Yeah.
It's a menu option.
Yeah.
Just get out of here.
Besides Haymarket, I also made my way over to Spiteful.
Nice.
I happened to be in that area. I restrained myself to not go into Half Acre, and I only went to Spiteful.
I can dig it.
I was also doing the same thing I was doing at Haymarket there. I was like, but this time I had my laptop and I was writing something. So I was just like, I'm just going to bars to write blog posts now. It's really not sure if it helps or hurts.
You can get a lot of work done at these bars, man.
Right. You know? But you also get kind of drunk.
Yeah.
And then no work gets done. but I was there late. Was it like a Tuesday or Wednesday night?
Yeah.
It was pretty empty. There was like girls having, I want to say like maybe like a shower or a birthday party. They had a cake and presents.
Yeah.
There was a group of like three older guys and then me.
Oh, right on.
And that was it. So the place was pretty quiet. Mm. I don't know. I couldn't see if Haymarket or Half Acre was busier or not. But yeah, I had a couple beers over there, and it was just like gorgeous night. The garage doors were open.
Yeah.
And like that pre-fall weather where you're just like, yeah, this is good. I don't need a sweatshirt. It's nice. It's crisp out.
Yeah.
Good.
That's true. I mean, I was giving fall a bad rap, but you know, I wore my hoodie today. Sat outside comfortably, you know.
Yeah.
And there, that's Bowmanville.
Yeah.
So they got the residential on one side of the block, and then on the other side, it's kind of like these. It's industrial on the other side of the street.
It's quiet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was my first time there. You had been there before, right?
Yeah, I've been there before. Sometimes I go down there just to pick up beer for like dinner. You know, like what are we gonna drink? I'm like, well, I live in Rogers Park, so I have to leave Rogers Park to get some good fucking beer. So I end up at Half Acre or Spiteful. Yeah.
So that was good. I think I may be up there again next month quite a bit, and so I may stop up there a few more times. So,
yeah, it's a good option.
Yeah, it was good. Cool. Those were my couple stops this week.
Right on. Let's talk about our misses.
Yeah, what'd we forget to go to?
We missed the Grays Lake Beer and Bourbon Fest, man.
Okay.
The 12th annual. So they had 80 whiskeys and 30 breweries at this thing, and we missed it.
Okay.
Let's see. Ailman, Half Acre, you know, all the usual suspects. There's a crew in Grays Lake called Black Lung Brewing. They were there.
I don't know that.
Never heard of them.
No.
And I don't think they're in the Beer Miscus book
are
either.
Are they in the book?
Are they in the book?
My book's from last year, so I don't have a current. I'm still working my way through last year's Beer Miscus book.
Yeah. So. I used to have a cousin that lived in Grays Lake, and he told me that per capita, there's more DUIs in Grays Lake than any other city in the state.
Damn, those cops suck. That's not a people problem. That's a cop problem.
Yeah. Yeah. What Brad said. Yeah. Oh, but we missed that. Yeah, but that's actually all I did this week, man.
Well,
yeah,
that's not. You didn't even do that.
Oh.
That's what we missed.
That's what we missed. That was our misses. We missed Grays Lake, the 12th annual Bourbon and Beer Fest.
Mm-hmm. Any beer standouts for you?
I tell you something, man. At the in Oak Lawn, that spot, Deja Brew, mm-hmm. I thought the barrel aged rye barley wine from Blue Island.
Nice.
Might have been my favorite beer. And then I saw Marty Nature posted it's in cans, so I'm kind of excited.
Oh, that's fine.
So I want to get back out there and get some cans. It was really good. It was everything you wanted in a barrel-aged barley wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice spice, nice caramel, you know, nice, like, you know, toffee.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, this shit is great. Yeah. Habitual was good. The double dry hop Citra from Rev. Those are both really good. But yeah. I tell you, man, Sunday night with that lost weekend.
Yeah.
That was my jam. What about you?
I want to say Matthias, but I did have an Allagash White. And I had saw that they're going to be in cans coming up, so it kind of was like, I should get myself one of these, and damn, that's a good beer.
Every just, time. It never fails.
No, you just have it, and you're like, thank you.
It's, man, it's restrained. It's delicate. It's flavorful. Man, that's a proper beer. And we talked about it before, like, I don't think the whole country gets Allagash White. I think if you're in the Northeast, in Chicago, and I want to say in L.A.,
yeah, something
so
like that.
So we're kind of, we're kind of lucky in that respect. So, mm-hmm.
So and it's going to be in cans, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. So then coming up this weekend, what do we got on the calendar? What's happening?
Man, the big event this week is the 15th annual Great Lakes Brew Fest up in Racine, Wisconsin.
Damn, okay. At the zoo.
So you cross a cheddar curtain. And that's what they call it.
Oh, is that the lake?
No, that's not me. That's a thing. Oh. You cross the cheddar curtain. Hey, they, because, Milwaukee's a little further up.
Mm-hmm.
The first towns you hit are Kenosha then Racine once you're leaving Illinois. So it's like a little easier to get to than some of the other stuff. Like Madison is like a, good, 4 hours, four hours?
Yeah, it's like in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. So Racine's closer to the border.
Okay.
Yeah. And our buddy Kurt Foreman.
Yeah.
This is a Brewfest Partners event.
Cool. So that's Saturday the 15th?
Yeah. So that's from 3 to 6. That is a 450 beers, 100 brewers. You can go VIP for $90. You can get general admission for $50.
Nice. I have not been in years.
Man, we used to always close out. We would say summer's going to be coming to an end. We would always close out the year with Festivale. That night, like Thursday or Friday night, and then the Saturday morning they were always on the same weekend.
Mm.
Festival and Great, and this one, the Great Lakes Brew Fest.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, I know of all the parties he does, I want to say this is his biggest event, I think.
Right, and once they moved to the zoo, it just got even bigger, because it was like on the lake before, and it was, I want to say, restrained a little bit.
Yeah.
But now at the zoo, it's massive, and not great taste size, but it's big, and you just kind of wander around and get lost a little bit.
That zoo's good because that zoo's really close to water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think our zoos are that close.
No.
So.
Nice. Also Saturday, just outside of Chicago, is the Buckle Down Brewing Oktoberfest.
Oh, right on.
So this is Saturday, September 15th as well, and it's their fourth annual Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. So they're rolling out their traditional Oktoberfest, which we had on the podcast a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's got that weird-looking guy in Lederhosen.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, I want to say it was a tribute to, like, a guy who was, like, in one of the buildings across the street from them. Mm-hmm. And every morning they would see him getting dressed. Yeah.
Nice. So they'll have 10 other beers of theirs on draft. And I think pretzels, and it should just be a good event.
That's a good party. Mm-hmm. I went to that one time. I really enjoyed it. Out in Lyons, Illinois.
Yeah, but it's like their brewery is like right off the expressway. Like you get off, and you can almost like, you're like, what? There's the brewery.
Right.
And you kind of miss it, and then you're like, oh, there's nowhere to park.
It's not far at all. Like if you're downtown and you take 55 South, you'd be there in like 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That was the one thing I saw. Anything else besides those two things?
Oh, yeah, there's an Inglewood Brews pop-up.
Oh.
So Inglewood is, I don't know if they're online yet. I mean, I saw an article in Guys Drinking Beer about them. I know Afro Beer Chick was talking about going to hang out with those guys.
Oh.
I don't know if their space is open yet. So okay. I don't know how you have a pop-up brewery, but they're doing a pop-up at a plaza out in Inglewood. So Inglewood is the neighborhood next to Hyde Park.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, so this is from noon to 5 on the 15th, on Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check that out.
I'm curious.
No, I don't know much about them.
I know nothing. Yeah. I want to know more.
So sounds like you should go with.
Brad, maybe I will.
Do it up. We got to report back.
Maybe I will.
We got to go to some of these. We can't just be missing.
That's true.
All.
Yeah, our misses category got to stay low.
Right. Really, we just go to breweries. We like have not. Hey, check out all these events you should go to. We'll be at Haymarket drinking.
If it's 85 degrees, I'm going to be at the beach. I'm going to probably have half a beer because that's what I do when I'm at the beach. That's my thing.
Nice. Cool. Any other events then?
No, that's all I got for events, man.
Cool. Well, before we get out of here, we'll dive into a bit of news, some stuff that's been happening. We mentioned the can release from Half Acre. I know Alarmist has a couple new cans dropping. So, yeah. But what do you got?
Let's see. Metallica has got a beer out with Stone. They got a whiskey out too, not with Stone, just with a distiller. But for this show, Metallica has a pilsner called Enter Night, 5.7.
And they did it with Stone?
They did it with Stone. Yeah, they're both California crews. Metallica's from like the San Francisco area. Stone is what, Escondido, so that's like near San Diego.
A pils from Stone doesn't seem very tough.
And doesn't seem like a Metallica thing to do either, right? But how many double IPAs can you make, I guess?
Feels like they both wimped out on this.
And then I think they're speaking to, like, you know, they're both crews that have been around for, you know, 20 plus years. So maybe they're just like, you know, pair this with our whiskey. I don't know.
I guess. I would guess the Metallica audience is a 30-pack kind of crowd a lot of the time.
Yeah. And then, but, you know, they're getting older, too.
Yeah.
So they probably, like, they probably went through the Stone portfolio and was like, man, can we just do like a beer flavored beer, man? It's cool that, you know, they're leveraging their brand to make beer. Like if I saw a Stone, I saw Metallica pills, you know, I'm probably going to try it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it going to be packaged or is it just?
Okay. That's in cans.
Okay. So we'll see it here. Maybe we'll give it a try. Maybe we'll review it for the YouTube channel.
Right on. Breakthrough Beverage. We saw this on the feed this week. Breakthrough Beverage. Yeah. I knew I was going to do that.
Breakthrough Beverage.
Breakthrough Beverage. God damn it. Breakthrough.
Yeah.
Breakthrough is the it's the merger between like Sun Belt in like New York and Chicago's distribution.
Yeah.
And Wurst is a family that owns the Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. They're sinking $9.2 million into CanTrust, which is a Canadian cannabis company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because recreational cannabis goes live in Canada on October 17th.
Right.
Yeah, so this is they're the exclusive distributor for cannabis. For cannabis beverages.
Beverages.
Yeah.
Because Constellation Brands dropped some major cash. That was their second investment into cannabis, I guess cannabis booze or cannabis beverages, I want to say.
Yeah.
Now they have a distributor for it. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So you're going to see everyone's, this is sort of like an arms race. Like everyone's lining up to sell cannabis infused drinks. It sounds like Lagunitas is already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So. And America, I don't want to say, needs to keep an eye on this because whatever is going to happen there in Canada, it's going to influence what happens here. Like these are American companies investing in things in Canada. So what happens here, right? Does that money come back? Can that money come back or do they have to keep it there?
This is interesting, man. They're saying that the Wurtz guys are who are we calling the Breakthrough guys? They're kind of saying this is a logical extension of our expertise.
What? That what people want to drink?
I mean, I guess, right? Going into cannabis, going into cannabis infused beverages. Yeah. This is going to be big in no time.
Right. Do you think cannabis beverages will take off? Like, edibles are interesting. People like edibles.
Yes.
But people like beer.
Yeah. I mean, there's some feeds on Twitter where they're saying on the West Coast, like CBD infused sparkling water is taking over tap handles in some bars.
Okay.
You know, they're making that observation. So.
But sparkling water is big, and like the booze of spiked sparkling water is kind of picking up, but is it a big enough category? I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like Breakthrough is the largest alcohol distributor in Canada.
Okay.
Too. So this might just be the focus might just be up there.
Just be like, here's this new thing. We're involved.
Yeah, and we forget like even though Breakthrough has some breweries on Buckle Down and Spiteful, they're both on Breakthrough. And I want to say 18th Street signed with Breakthrough too.
Yeah, I think so.
But Oh, but most of their portfolio is like, you know, F and vodka. Like, they're really more into spirits than they are into beers.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
Nice.
So, we'll see.
Interesting story to follow, yeah.
Yeah. Not Goose Island. Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch.
Same.
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch and Jim Beam got together to make a copper lager.
Okay.
And the copper lager has barrel staves from Jim Beam in it. So, it's like it's a barrel-infused copper lager. A barrel stave copper lager.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. I wonder how that tastes, because I had the copper lager from AB. It's got Faust. It's named after some guy in St. Louis. He had a bar. His name was Faust.
Hmm.
And the copper lager from them, it was good.
It was good.
Okay. It was good. So yeah, because it's not, you know, because what? Budweiser, that beer. The Beechwood A's joint, yeah. That's not the copper lager.
Okay.
Yeah. So that might be good. I don't know.
But we did see Miller Coors try to jump on this with their, remember, what was that stout that they had a little bit? Everyone kind of went nuts for it. It was good. They had like a Bourbon County kind of rival.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Big Eddie.
Big Eddie.
You know, I've had some Big Eddies. Big Eddie wasn't bad.
But then they decided to pull what Goose Island is doing now and be like, here's all the flavors. But they flavored it and did it in ways that were not right, I guess. I don't know. I don't know the best.
The Miller Coors guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was just a lot of like flavors that they ended up doing that weren't very exciting or very good. So I worry that maybe AB could do this with their like, oh, we have barrels. Let's just put our beer in it. But
you know, the argument with those guys, man, even on the Miller side and the AB side, the argument with them is like, hey, we don't want to. They'll always say we can't make the beers that are popular now in craft circles because, you know, we can't make, we can't make 10 barrels of it. We got to make so much of it that we would, you know, we'd use up all the ingredients and cause a shortage around the world. That's kind of, that's always been their stance.
Them doing, AB doing a barrel-aged beer, how many freaking barrels is that, right? That's a lot of barrels.
Yeah.
But who's the audience, right?
And that too, because Big Eddie, you know, even though it was fine beer, it was all right. It was good. It kind of came and went still.
Right.
Just as a series. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're not checking for it at bars. You're not picking it up at retail.
Right. And then when I did see it, it was just sitting on shelves then because people had it. Yeah, it's good. But I know who it is and I know what's better. Same with this. People may try it and they'll be like, well, it's AB. I'm not, like, interested in this.
I don't think the Jim Beam, people who are into Beam, because, you know, Beam White Label is just that baseline Jim Beam.
Yeah.
It's not a bad product. I don't see them people picking up a Jim Beam beer.
Yeah.
And the Budweiser crew isn't really checking for bourbon flavors, I don't think. People who drink Bud Light and people who drink Budweiser, I mean, what are the odds that they're looking for something that's, you know, a little bigger and a little more
that
like bourbon?
That merges, like, I'll have a Bud Light and I'll have a whiskey. Like, they are two different things in a lot of people's mind, and I would think that group, so bringing them together would be kind of like, I don't know, like, I like them in separate.
Yeah. I think they got it with name recognition, for sure. I think those are two iconic names, Budweiser and Jim Beam, on the same label. They got me curious, so.
Curious, yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, man, it's wet hop ale season, man. This is my favorite time of year. No pumpkin beers, take a back seat, man. You know, it's all about wet hops.
Yeah.
You know, so
fresh hops.
Fresh hops. Yeah. So
they're not wet. They're just fresh. They're not sticky.
That's true. They're not like, I see what you did there too. Because you know, they're not pellets.
Yeah.
It's the entire hop off the vine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that season. It's harvest ale season.
Right.
Yeah, Founders makes a really good one. They just call theirs harvest ale. Brewdew is making the rounds.
Oof.
Brewdew from
Floyd's. I haven't had that beer in a while.
Man, it's so hoppy that they just have, you see big chunks of hops.
Right.
in the bomber. The Motor Row guys that I saw at Vice District this year, they're making a red ale. They're making a wet hop harvest red ale.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of red ale, so I was excited about that. Yeah, and then, of course, the good folks over Fulton & Wood, Goose Island, they have Sticky Feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Sticky Feathers is going to use 75 pounds of Chinook.
Nice.
Wet hops. So
that should be ready for, they should have that for a through and two day.
Yeah, yeah. So the wet hop ales are among us, man. Harvest ales are here, and I'm here for it. I like those.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that all the news, or we got anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, then we'll get out of here. We won't rant on about AB and Jim Bean for that long. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. We're always posting photos on Instagram, so be sure to follow us there, Chicago Beer Pass. And, yeah, website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there, links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube versions as well. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with new bars we ventured to. Maybe a festival. Maybe.
Maybe.
And, yeah, take care.
Cheers.